Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we continue study chapter 5 of Book of Hosea. So we read this chapter once. The title, Return to God for Healing. For healing, because in verse 13 he said, when Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to King Jareel, yet he cannot cure you nor heal you of your wound. So the Israel, once they have a sickness, they turn to wrong God. They turn to Assyria and turn to the king of men, and then of course they cannot cure, they cannot heal. But if we can return to God, then we receive the real healing. So if we do have this kind of wrong concept or in our percept, our mind is wrong, then we cannot find God. Just like in verse six, with their flock and herd, they go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. Why? Why? God just made himself disappear. They cannot find him, even though they want to seek for him, because their iniquity, right? So because of iniquity, they just cannot find God. Okay, so this is the theme. Let's turn about this. If you look at the chapter, verse 1 to 7. 1 to 7. Hear, O priest, take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king. So this is a proclamation from the prophet. So the word of prophet, he point out the sins of Israel. So from verse 1 to 7. And then from verse 8 to 15, the Lord made known to Israel what is to come in his expectation to them. So because if from verse 8, you can see, especially in verse 9, among the tribe of Israel, I make known what is true, what is sure, right? In verse 10, I will pour out my wrath on them like water. But so from verse 8 and on, you can see God used the first person to say, I will do something, I will. So this is the outline of this chapter, two sections. So in verse 1, here is the name Mizpah and a place called Tabor. What is that? Mizpah means watch tower, watch tower. So if you turn back to Judges 10 and Judges 11, you can see this Mizpah, watch tower. And then Tabor means mourn or fragile. From Joshua 19, you can see. Because we don't have time to study this individual location, something happened in that place. So that's why he said, judge, for yours is a judge, because you have been a snare to Mizpah, a net spread on Tabor. Means in Mizpah and Tabor, this place just like a snare, or just like a trap for them to fall in. They turn away from the law from these two places, refer to how they become rebellious to God. Okay? So places where they were worshiping other gods, they use, when they turn to idols. They can worship idols everywhere. Just in a high hill, under the tree, everywhere. But to worship God, they have to follow God's law. So they can offer sacrifice only in the, to where? In tabernacle, right? Where God set up his tabernacle, and then this is the place they have to offer and get it together in that place. So God set up the rule for them to worship. Okay, so in verse 13 say, think about the sickness of Israel. They are sick, right? And if people become ill and it's not unhealthy, you can see, you know, all different kind of the function the person will have. So the sickness of Israel, we can find in verse 1 to 2, right? Verse 1 and 2. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Lord, I rebuke them all. So it's become very cruel, unmerciful. They are just have mercy. They don't sympathize with anybody. They just become very violent, right? So this is a sickness of Israel. And then you, from verse 3, you see they commit adultery, right? Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. If we are not faithful to God, usually this is some sign you can see it, because you will eventually this kind of symptom will appear. So harlotry, our heart turn to others instead of to the Lord. And verse 5 say pride. The pride of Israel testified to his faith. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. Pride result in the iniquity. So iniquity actually is the result, right? But the cause, the reason is pride. This is so true, right? To us in our servitude. If we have a wrong motive, if we care about our reputation, we care about our own glory, then actually sometimes we serve out of our own pride. So if we have a pride in heart, do you know what happened? You will look for some work in the church. People can see it, people can view it. Wow. Maybe you're looking for people's praise. Wow, you have done a good job. And people will post to you, wow, you're wonderful. So you try to expose yourself more and let people know you are doing good, you are very fervent. But somehow it's not pure. It's come out from personal pride, because you want to show maybe you are better than others. So we must be careful about pride. This kind of the sickness of spirituality. In verse 6, he's talking about their eagerness. They don't know God, turn away from them already. They try to seek for the Lord, but they cannot find him, right? They will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them, but they are ignorant about that. They can see that, whenever I want to seek for the Lord, I can find him. However, God hides himself from them already. But they're totally unaware of this situation. And in verse 7, they are unfaithful, right? Verse 7 says, they have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon should devour them and their heritage. So they just become just adulterer. They are unfaithful to the Lord. So this is the sickness of Israel. So we do it, we have to be careful. And we return to God's hearing, right? First, we have to diagnose the sickness. What happened? What is the problem to us? So every day we have to re-examine ourselves. If we can know the reason, we know the why or how we become sick, then we have a way to return to healing. We have to change it. So that's why every day we read the Bible, and this provides a chance for us to diagnose our own problem. And then we turn to the right one for healing. We turn to the Lord. We know from God we receive power, and we can have mercy. He is able to help us. And we receive, after we have been strengthened, then we have power to overcome. And our spirituality become healthy. Then we have to trust God's power to heal, right? We have to trust Him, have trust in Him. And so in verse 1, give ear, O house of kin. Take heed. Always see. This is kind of once we say hear, give ear, take heed, it always provides some resolution. We have to really pay attention to, because God is powerful God. In verse 9, Ephraim shall be desolate in the days of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel, I make known what is sure. God is able to reveal everything. So God will instruct His people about what things is to come. Okay, so after we trust God, then we have to cleanse our heart. Cleanse our heart. Verse 4 says, they do not direct their deeds turning to their God. For the spirit of harlotry is in their mind, in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. If we have this kind of spirit of harlotry, then we do not know the Lord. So we have to cleanse our heart, in order to return to His hearing. Then repent and seek for God's love. Verse 15, I will return again to my place. Till they acknowledge their offense, then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. In their iniquity, in their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. Somehow, we are so stubborn as a human being. We always need God to punish and give us some of the affliction. Then I will awake, I'm wrong. I have to change. If we are wise, we are prudent, then before we suffer, we return already. So actually, we can save a lot of energy in our life to really do something more meaningful, right? Instead of in this simple circle and repeat it again and again. So we don't waste our life. Okay, so return to the hearing of God in chapter 5. Any question about chapter 5? I think we have to pay attention to verse 14, I want to emphasize. Verse 14, for I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear them and go away. I will take them away, and no one should rescue. God will treat His people like a lion to tear them apart. See, God is the Lord of judge. If we provoke the Lord like a lion, then we are in trouble indeed. So don't abuse God's love. So when we still have chance return in time, then we will receive blessing instead of affliction. Okay. So somehow God said, I will be like a lion. Think about, huh? Think about that. When once you face a lion in front of you, what do you do? If you meet a lion on the road, you go to Africa, you face a lion, what is terrible, and you just, when you face a bear, maybe you have some action to take, right? But to a lion, can you escape it? Probably not, if this is a roaring lion. Okay, chapter 5. Let's turn to chapter 6. Continue chapter 6. Okay, we read this chapter from Sister Sinai. Where? From, we stop. You follow, right? You follow the
Come, let us return to the Lord. He has tried us as a chief priest, but he will help us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wound.
2. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight.
Verse 3.
我们务要认识耶和华，竭力追求认识他。他出现却如晨光，他必临到我们像甘雨，像滋润田地的春雨。
Verse 4. What can I do with you? If I mean, what can I do with you? Your love is like a morning mist, like the early dew that disappears.
Verse 5, therefore I cut you in pieces with my prophet. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgment flashed like lightning upon you.
Verse 6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings.
7, 他们却如亚当被约在境内向我行事诡诈。
9. As bands of robbers lie in wait for men, so the company of priests is murdered on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness.
I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled.
11. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you when I return the captives of my people.
Amen. Chapter 6. Come, let us return to the Lord. Let's return to the Lord. So, let's return to the heart of God. So, I share this chapter briefly in one of the prayer sessions last week. So we have to always remember what God really like. God not just like the sacrifice, he like our heart, wholeheartedly turn to him. So we have to pursue the knowledge of the Lord. We do our best. The more we know about him, the more our heart will cling to this Savior, because he is so wonderful. We cannot make ourselves just like in verse 4 say, oh, for your festival is just like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. It's only 3 minutes, right? Our heart to God cannot just last for a few days, but we must make sure we follow Him our whole life. So until we die on this earth, we have to really follow Him. Our faithfulness will go with Him forever. It's very important. Okay? So from verse 1 to 3, the exhortation of the prophet. Because the prophet said, come, let's return to the Lord, right? So invitation, come, let's go. It's from the prophet. And he said, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Verse 3 said, why? Because he said, in 3 days, God will return to us. God will hear us, revive us, raise up again. This is what the prophet, he understands God's mercy. God is only very temporary anger to someone. But the purpose of anger is to bring people back. Right? And then from verse 4 to 11, discuss allegation. So refer to their sin. Actually, that really is sin against God. That's why God is said, I have seen, in verse 10 say, I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Okay, so this is chapter 6, the outline. About prophet's exhortation, 劝勉, means first, return, right? Return. Then we have to know the Lord. Turn our heart first, then seek for Him, take actions, and then we will know. So this topic, return, actually is a main theme. We mentioned it already. And then we know, have to know this Savior. So the message of return. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, I would and I hear. Let's turn to this verse. Deuteronomy 32, 39. Sister, please continue to read. Next.
Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I myself am He. There is no God beside me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal, and no one can deliver out of my hand.
Okay, thank you. Now see that I, even I, am He. And there is no God besides me. I cure and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. So this verse, if we look at in Hosea chapter 5, verse 14, God's like a lion, right? He said, If I tear it apart, no one can take away from me. No one can rescue. So God said, I wounded, but I can heal. So return is the reason, because God can heal. This is, God is a loving shepherd, right? A loving shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, verse 11 to 16. Ezekiel, 34, 11 to 16, please read.
Ezekiel 34, verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out.
Verse 12, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. Verse 13, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country.
Verse 14. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountain of Israel.
Verse 15. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God.
Verse 16. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment.
Amen. If we are eye teachers, if we have been lead in the fellowship, whatever church work, we always have to remember this passage. This is the good shepherd. God, actually, this message refers to Jesus Christ. It's the greatest shepherd, and we become his follower, also being a shepherd. So we have to really consider this God's heart. Okay. So he is a loving shepherd. We can really trust him. So the prophecy of return, just say 2 days or 3 days, right? Just only 2 days, 3 days, so it's very short. So they will, the Israel will revive and will raise up. So actually, this is a prophecy about their captivity and then return. God will torn the Israel, but he will heal. So that's why in the history you can see how God make these children be kept by someone, but God allowed them to return in a few years. So from captivity to rebuilding. Okay? Then how to know the Lord? How? We want to return to God's heart to know him, but how? Let's pursue. Let's do it together. So as a group, in this generation, we accepted each other, we work together, pray for one another. This is how we pursue. With all your heart, all your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read it before, right? We have to strive. Make effort. So if you want to know the Lord, not just sit on the couch and then watch TV, right? You're not just sit in front of a computer, surf all the websites and watch it, view all the Facebook pictures, listen to the YouTube, all of the videos. No, we have to really make effort, strive to know it. So in Luke 13, let's turn to Gospel Luke 13. 13, verse 24, please read.
Luke 13:24. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able.
Okay. 13:24. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I said to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Do you think you are among those who enter it, or you just the people who try to enter but unable? So we have to strive to make sure we can. So this is the action we have to really pay attention. Follow after. Just like Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, 14, this is the message from Apostle Paul. He said he set a goal. He made every effort, every day approach it to this goal. So that's why he forget things behind, toward ahead to the goal. So let's do it together, right, to know the Lord. So what do the Lord want from you? Because in verse Chapter 6, verse 6. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. So Micah chapter, what does the Lord want from you? Micah chapter 6 verse 8. What is the verse say? Micah 6 verse 8. Anyone remember the verse? Micah 6 verse 8. SSC, you know, our youngest, they can cite the verse. Anyone? Sister, as a counselor, many of us has been SSC counselor, right? Huh? Well, but the whole verse though, not just the key point. Anyone can recite before you turn to the. Okay, let's see it. During the class, you are not going falling asleep, right? But somehow, if we can memorize hymns with verse, it's wonderful. So in verse 8, Micah 6, 8 says, He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the law require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Let's do it. We know God wants us. He needs our heart, not just our offerings. All right. How did Israel hear the Lord? What do you think? In Hosea chapter 6, God's heart has been greatly hurt by his own people. So, every time when you are going to do something, always remember where my deed hurt my Lord. If I'm going to say something where my word defile my faith to the Lord, everything, if we consider more, one more time, so we will behave just like a disciple of Jesus, really. Indeed, we will be different from what we used to be. So if we truly know the Savior, we will more considerate about his feeling. He paid the price for us. He loved us so much. Are we going to hurt easily that just without any consideration and just do it? No, we cannot do so. We cannot be double-minded. If we are double-minded, then we receive nothing. Okay, so in verse 4, O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, disappeared, because their heart is not clean or attached to the Lord. Just temporary, someone push it, then they turn, then they stop. It's useless, right? So, we are not going to be a double-minded. We follow him wholeheartedly. If we break the covenant with the Lord, it hurt. Just like a married couple, if one party just break the covenant, you see how the spouse will get hurt. We have a sister, she just unaware of her husband's behalf, but suddenly the husband just said to her, we divorce. He just put the money on the table, and this is the total cash we have. Okay, this part, half, belong to you. You take it and then depart, you go. Well, our sister just cannot get it. What happened? The husband just want to break the covenant. So think about if we our heart turn away to from the Lord and follow other gods, means we break this covenant. This new covenant God established through his own blood. Can we do this thing to hurt him? No, we cannot, right? So this is the action that Israel did. So the priest, those who are supposed to serve God and know God's heart, but their acts, their action, just like robbers. They commit lewdness because of covetousness for benefit. So in verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9, a band of robbers lie in wait for men. So the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. This whole bunch of priests, just like robbers, they, because in Shechem, Jesus supposed they go there to worship God, to offer sacrifice, you know, to observe the feast. But this group, the company of priests, murder on the way, murder people. So this is the total chaos. You just cannot imagine this whole situation, but this is the fact of Israel. Okay, so their deeds really hurt the Lord. In verse 10, the most serious thing is harlotry. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Always remember, harlotry is a daily sin. We just must take it very, very seriously. Don't take it light as, oh, God will forgive me. But you put yourself in the risk. If God doesn't want, and what is your result? You just think about for yourself. Okay? So this is chapter 6. Let's continue in chapter 7. Any question for chapter 6 before we go into 7? No? Okay. Let's read 7. Chapter 7. Read it. Continue. Sister.
Chapter 7, verse 1. When I would have healed Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they have committed fraud, a thief comes in, a band of robbers takes spoil outside.
Verse 2. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face.
They delight the king with their wickedness, the princes with their lies.
For they are like all adulterers, burning like an oven, whose fire the baker need not stir, from the kneading of the dough till it rises.
Verse 5. On the day of the festival of our king, the princes become inflamed with wine, and he joins hands with the mocker.
6. They prepare their heart like an oven. While they lie in wait, their baker sleeps all night. In the morning, it burns like a flaming fire.
7. All of them are hot as an oven. They devour their rulers. All their kings fall, and none of them calls on me.
Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned.
Verse 9. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him, yet he does not know it.
10. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this.
11. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria.
Verse 12. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to what their congregation has heard.
13. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me.
Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me.
14. They do not cry out to me with their heart when they wheeled upon their beds. They assembled together for grain and new wine. They rebel against me.
15. 我睡觉到他们坚固他们的膀臂, 他们竟谋图抗拒我。
16. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword, for the cursings of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt.
Amen. Chapter 7. You see so many analogy of Israel, right? Israel like the Holy One, right? So and so. So in this chapter, if we put a title, Return to the Redemption of God. Why? Because in this one verse, God wanted to redeem them, but they lied to him. Verse 13, all to them, for they have fled from me, destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeem them, yet they have spoken lies against me. God wants to redeem us. We have to accept and return to his redemption. If we, just like a foolish man, enjoy the sinful pleasure, then all to you. Really. This is how the prophet said, right? In verse 13, all to them who has fled from me. So from verse 1 to 7, this is the iniquity and wickedness of Israel before the Lord. In verse 8 to 16, the eagerness of Israel. And in this chapter, so many descriptions about their eagerness. They're just like a silly dog. They have no sense at all. Are we just like a silly dog? Right? Or just like a stubborn cow? So it's in this book, there's so many very interesting descriptions about who don't know God. We are not going to be like a city dog, right? God remember all what we have done. In verse 2, right? They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. So be careful. Everything you have done, God remember in detail, even more detail than yourself. We have to learn from the book of prophet. God knows everything. God is just. God searches and knows. In Psalm 139, before you say everything in your heart, God sees through. We cannot lie to God. So everything, we must be true. We must be a true man. True son and true daughter. God searches and knows everything. We have to please God, not please men. Just like this morning, during the prayer, our sister reminded us, make ourselves of no reputation. We have to put our goal to please the Lord, not the man. Okay? Israel is a burning orphan. Burning orphan. Heat, right? Heat it up. Gradually, slowly, and then we'll cut something out. Adultery is an action that has been incubated and planned, not an impromote type of error. This you must not be there. Right? So adultery is someone commit fornication or any deadly sin. It's not just suddenly unplanned it and then it just happened. No way. Everything actually has been planned and taken in step by step. So it's a burning oven. You consider when you heat something up, gradually the heat getting up. and then you have no way to return. Because in the case of Israel, they run into this path gradually. The cake just become burnt out, right? Unturned, one side burnt out and another side uncooked, then useless, then throw away. So Israel is burning often. We'll continue in the next section from chapter 7. Let's pray in silence.